Let us begin our worship this evening by singing hymn number 117 to the tune Sorely 231. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. For all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast, and spreads his wounded hands. Eternal life at his request to every saint is given, safety on earth, and after death the plenitude of heaven. Hymn number 117.
Oh. From the Holy Word of God, we will read in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. The fifth chapter in Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Oh, do come and abide with us, and make one in our midst. And as the Grecians came to Philip, they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Then may Christ be lifted high, not only in our natural understanding, but with our spirit's desire, that we might exalt the man of God, the Christ man, he who came to save his people from their sins. And we would humbly own and confess that we are sinners yet. But, O Lord, there is mercy with thee, that thou mayest be feared. O, may the fear of God be found in our hearts. May it be said of each one here that there is some good thing found within them toward the Lord God of Israel. Lord, we thank thee for a further opportunity to gather around thy word and under the sound of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that thou wilt come and make one in our midst. Hast thou not said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst? And so we pray that by the eye of faith, we may see yon lovely man, whom to know is life everlasting. Oh, do strengthen our faith. And if faith is not present, do grant faith to be able to believe that thou art he and that thou art the rewarder of all those that diligently seek thee. As it has been paraphrased, if with all your heart ye truly seek me, ye shall ever surely find me, thus saith the Lord. Lord, none are too young to die. We understand that the old must die, and the young may die, and we all one day will die, except the Lord come again. Or to be made ready against that day that thou shalt come, or thou shalt take us home. And in the words of the hymn writer, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thou must all the work perform, for it is all of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lift us above the things of time and sense, or may we lose sight of our natural surroundings. May we see no man save Jesus only. May we look upon his lovely face and adore his precious name, and that we may be enabled to worship thee aright in spirit and in truth. Lead us not, O Lord, to our own devices, for we know that we are such poor things in and of ourselves. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And it seems incredible that having known something of the grace of Almighty God, we should become so lethargic and so forgetful that we think not upon thee. Lord, heal our backslidings and love us freely. Draw us with the cords of thy eternal love and show us that we are truly thine. Leave us not to doubt the means of grace and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work and sweet influence of thy blessed Spirit in converting the souls of men and women. None are too far off. Thou art mighty to save. And oh, we pray that thou wouldest appear, and especially in the day in which we live, when things have so declined at such a rapid rate, there has been such a falling away, that as in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he spake sound doctrine, there were those that turned their back upon him and walked no more with him. And so today man cannot receive sound doctrine, and therefore he seeks after lighter things. He seeks after worldly and carnal things, as if that could satisfy his soul, which indeed it cannot. O Lord, do ground us then in the truth as it is in Jesus. Help us to understand thy word. Enlighten us upon the scriptures of truth. Grant that we may receive sound doctrine into our hearts and into our lives, that we may live upon the Son of God and delight to do thy will, to keep thy commandments, to obey thy voice. O, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Lord, do strengthen us then in the way. Give us more grace to live in this dark world of sin as those that love and serve the Lord, that we may be as a bright and shining light in this dark world of sin, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which art in heaven. Lord, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And there we understand that the angels veil their faces. They fall down before thee and call upon thee, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. And cannot we repeat, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, we love thy holy name. And all that we may walk in holiness of life, and that this may be the hallmark of our profession and of our religion, and that we be not left, O Lord, to wander and go astray from these things. Again, we bring before the young people here, the little ones. Lord, much doubtless they do not understand of that which takes place here. But, oh, do give them a love for the place, that in future times they may come to understand more and more, to understand that there is a heaven and that there is a hell, that man, when he dies, goes to one or the other, or that they may have that desire to be found right before God and to understand that it is a narrow way that leads to God. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But oh, to be counted among the few, may I numbered with them be, now and through eternity. So we pray earnestly, dearest Lord, that thou wilt touch their hearts and grant that they may have something to encourage them, not natural things, but spiritual things, something that they may understand and take to heart. Lord, it has pleased thee in times past to speak to even little children. Come and speak to them now. Speak to the parents also. Encourage the parents to bring up their children aright, to teach them the way, to teach them how to pray. Lord, they cannot give their children prayer. They cannot save their souls, but they can pray for them and pray with them. And oh, may it be so, that they may seek the Lord with their children, if haply they might find him. Remember those in the midst of life who bear the heat and burden of the day, the pressures that upon those in business and in profession today are enormous. And many, O Lord, that would seek to lead them astray, or how they need to be kept. May they prove that thou art able to keep them in the most difficult situations, in the greatest turmoil of life. Remember older friends, weaknesses, sicknesses, afflictions come upon them. And Lord, thou knowest how they need also thy help to bear these things, remembering that thou dost not lay upon us more than we can bear, but thou dost make a way of relief. Remember those that are laid aside in sickness, affliction and sorrow, those that feel pain and discomfort. O Lord, do help them to bear their load, knowing that it is because thou dost love them, thou dost bring these things upon them. Lord, has it not been said that thou dost work all things together for our good? Strange and mysterious is the pathway that we tread. We do not understand much of the Lord's dealings, but oh, help us to be submissive to thy every will. We pray, O Lord, for thy servant, the beloved pastor of this church. And Lord, thou knowest all that a pastor's heart feels, and all that it desires, and all that it stands in need of. Oh, do strengthen and support him to continue in this work. Lord, the load doesn't get any lighter. The way doesn't get any easier. But we can look to thee and pray that thou wilt comfort him and help him and encourage him. Oh, may there be those signs following the preaching of the gospel. May there be those that will come and tell what the Lord has done for their never dying souls. May there be those, O Lord, who shall be a support, a strength to the church here, in whatever way thou mayest be pleased to lead them. So, Lord, do bless thy church. Remember thy servants that have gone forth today to various parts, to different churches. And, Lord, thou knowest the needs of the churches to which they have gone, and thou knowest their needs. Do grant them journeying mercies as we trust they may return tonight or tomorrow. Watch over them and protect them on the roads and the highways of this nation. And Lord, do remember all thine own sent servants. Wherever there is a people met together in the fear of the Lord, Lord, do bless and encourage. And do support the little causes of truth. Those with the twos and threes, and greater numbers too. But nevertheless, in this day of great apostasy, may they be a landmark. May they be a voice, even if it's a voice in the dark. Yet may they be ambassadors for Christ's sake, showing forth the grace of Almighty God. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt be with us as we journey on through life, remembering, O Lord, that we are not to settle here. Oh, the flesh delights to settle and to be established upon this earth, but faith does not permit it, for we look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Like the children of Israel, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. But the time came when their Joshua, Jesus, would lead them through the Jordan into the promised land. Our Lord, a promised land where they had much to encompass. And yet, with the child of God now, when he reaches that heavenly kingdom, only joy shall be his delight. What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, this is why they are before the throne of God and praise him day and night without ceasing. O Lord, to admire those that have gone before and their works do follow them, the testimony, that great cloud of witnesses, Lord, may they be an encouragement to us to continue in the way, to press onward and to press upwards. And Lord, that we faint not by the way, but that we may drink from the well of Bethlehem and be refreshed. And Lord, as we come to the house of God week by week, may there be those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. May thy favour be toward thy people, even in this dark, benighted day of ours. And Lord, that we may at last gain the victory, there to be forever with the Lord. Lord, it is a glorious prospect. It is a Christian's firm hope that when his days on earth are ended, then his days begin and shall never end with Christ forever and ever. As the hymn writer said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Or we would just remember our friends at home who are coming toward the end of their morning service. Do bless them and keep them. Remember those that sorrow the loss of a mother. And be with thy people in every dispensation of life, in every trouble, in every joy. May they praise God, the God from whom all blessings flow. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. We ask all in that worthy, precious, all-prevailing name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
If the Lord will, the pastor is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. That is the time appointed for our monthly collection. Also, God willing, we have a scripture teaching meeting on Friday, and our four-monthly church meeting is arranged for Monday, the 19th of February. Let us now sing hymn number 23 to the tune Martyrdom 182. A man, there is a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. This wondrous man of whom we tell is true Almighty God. He bought our souls from death and hell, the price, his own heart's blood. Come then, repenting sinner, come, approach with humble faith. O what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. Hymn number 23.
Still give.
Looking to the Lord for all needed help, I direct your prayerful attention once again this evening to the 7th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, verses 24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We live in a day of great confusion. We live in a day when so much of Scripture has been turned inside out and upside down, that the plethora of Bibles that are on the market today, so-called the Word of God, and yet there is in each version a lowering of the standards, a lowering of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn that we have just sung seems to my mind to put everything into order. A man. Some will say that Christ was a good man, that he was a just man. Some will say he was a prophet. Some will admit that he was sent of God. But a man. Others go to the other extreme and say that he was God, but not real man. But that hymn seems to put everything in order. A man that is a real man, made like unto us, flesh and blood, in every part, as we mentioned this morning, sin only excepted. This is the only thing that sets him apart from this people. He came because we needed one to intercede on our behalf. We needed one to pay the price of our sins. God, as God, could not do that and still be just. But Christ in God, and God in Christ, that wonderful union, Emmanuel, God with us, was able to take that place for his people's sake and deliver them from the wrath that is to come. We want to come to the climax, as I believe it is, of this chapter in verse 25. But let us just link these two verses together. And how precious when we consider it in this way. But this man, and in verse 25, he is able. And when we put the two couplets together, but this man is able. Able for what? Well, if we look back in this same epistle to the second chapter and the last two verses, wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able. He is able to succor them that are tempted. And if we look to the fourth chapter of the Epistle of Romans, we have an example given us there by Paul concerning Abraham and Sarah. And verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham proved the ability of God to bring life to the womb of Sarah that was dead. And believing, he proved God's faithfulness in bringing forth his son Isaac. The ability then of the Lord Jesus Christ surely is beyond question. He is able. And in the context of the verse, he is able to save. He is able also to save them to the uttermost. This is the purpose of his coming. It was said before his birth that his name shall be called Jesus. And the name Jesus simply means Savior. He came to save his people from their sins. He is able to save them because of his finished work at Calvary. Because he rose again, triumphant from the dead. Because he lives forevermore. And we, if we are the Lord's people, shall live in and through him. But let us consider this word able. And we might see it in two different ways. Firstly, in providence. He is able to overcome all things. The Lord said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We all know something of the troubles of life. And if we stand firm upon the doctrine of Christ, these troubles will come more and more because Satan hates those that profess the Saviour's name. And he does everything to confound the work of the Holy Spirit by bringing sinners to Christ. And therefore he frustrates the purposes of God's people. We see it in the life of Job. A wonderful illustration that here was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And oh, how Satan tempted him and tried him, brought him almost to destruction, took away all his substance and all his goods, took away his health and his strength. But Job has faith. faith to believe that God is able to preserve him in the midst of all these trials. I don't believe any of us will experience half of what Job experienced. And yet, as I've often mentioned, a very simple expression, yet there is much truth in it. A trial is not a trial unless it tries. These things do try us, and the Lord knows how to bring trials into our lives. The Lord knows that these things work together for our good. He knows that these will be a strengthening for us. Often when we're passing through them, they seem anything but strengthening, but weakening. But as the Apostle Paul had to learn when he had the thorn in the flesh and prayed thrice or many times that this thorn might be removed from him, he might be relieved of this pain and suffering, the Lord came and said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And how the dear apostle could rejoice that when he was weak, then he was strong. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For this God hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Lord is ever there. He's ever mindful of his people. Although Job in chapter 23 looks one way and another, he cannot find him, but he comes to this grand conclusion: "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, when that trial has done its purpose, then I shall come forth as gold." How encouraging then, when we're going through a pathway of trial, a pathway of affliction, a pathway of sorrow, a pathway of loss, a pathway of cross, to know that God is with us and that he is able to bring us through. We may come like Jacob of old and say, "All these things are against me." When trouble comes upon trouble and trouble follows trouble, it brings us down naturally. We feel to be such poor things, unable to stand or to withstand these great difficulties in our lives. But he is able to support us. And remember this, when we come to that lowest of all places, we can never come too low, because underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord supports his people. He puts his strength within them. They're able to withstand in the evil day, that having done all, they may stand. Standing firm upon that knowledge that God knows best. We so often do not understand our pathway. It is strange and mysterious to us. We cannot understand why at times we have to go through certain things. And perhaps upon this earth we will never know. But to be able to say, "The Lord has brought these things. And in the Lord's time, if it so pleases him, he will set me free from them. He will be my helper, my strength, my guardian, and my guide." Read through the book of Psalms. You know, the book of Psalms is a wonderful book of experience. The experience of God's people. What they pass through in this life. David knew many changes in his life. And he that knows no changes fears not God. But David could testify of the Lord's greatness and of the Lord's goodness, his wonderful mercy and compassion toward him. But this man is able. He's able to save. This is the great purpose, surely, of the gospel, to make salvation known unto men, that we might hear the voice of love and mercy when the word of God comes expressly unto us. But you might say, I'm such a poor thing. I'm such a miserable offender. Lord, thou knowest I am a sinner, that I cannot stop sinning. Sin is ever with me and all about me. The circumstances of my life are not helpful in this way. I'm in the world, and the world has its influence upon me. How can such a one as I be saved? He is able. But this man is able. He's able to save, to set the soul free and at liberty, to give deliverance. He came surely for that end. And it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah how that the Lord would come to be a deliverer of his people Israel. But I cannot read my title clear. I cannot understand how God could ever look upon such a dead dog as I am. Look at the cases in Scripture. Look at someone like Manasseh. We're told of Manasseh that he caused the streets of Jerusalem to run with blood. A wicked man. An awful man. And yet, when the Lord brought him into bondage, he put the fear of God in his heart. He gave him grace to cry out for mercy. Have mercy upon me, a miserable offender that I am. And the Lord heard the prayer of Manasseh. And the Lord delivered him. Look at Mary Magdalene. What an awful woman she must have been. Out of whom, it is said, seven devils were cast. Seven in Scripture is always the number of perfection. She was a perfect devil. We only read of her changed life. We don't read of her life before. The Scriptures are silent. And perhaps it's a good thing that they are. But what a change. Could ever such a one as Mary Magdalene be saved? The Lord came where she was. But I can't pray. I seem to stumble over words. I don't seem to have a heart for prayer. Can any of us pray? Unless God the Holy Spirit indicts real prayer in our hearts. As one said, I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? What is real prayer? It's communication of the soul with God, and God with the soul. The Lord hears and answers prayer. And the Lord is able to give the stammering tongue the prayer that it needs. Did not the Lord say, call upon me? In the day of trouble, I will hear thee. Thou shalt glorify me. It is in those times of trouble, surely, that we most need God. And do we not have every encouragement to come to the throne of grace? To come and plead mercy. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. But I do not have faith to believe. Think of the man who said to the Lord Jesus, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, we're riddled with much unbelief at times. Our hearts seem to be so hard, so cold as clay. We wonder if there's any life in it at all. But he is able. We have a wonderful case given us, I think it's John 11, which speaks of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And Martha and Mary were mourning over their brother's death. They had sent message to the Lord Jesus Christ that he would come. But the Lord delayed his coming, for the Lord has a great purpose in his delay. But he comes. And Lazarus had now been in the grave for 4 days. Behold, by this time, his sister says, he stinketh. Is the Lord able to raise the dead? To set the prisoner free? To quicken those that are dead in trespasses and in sins? How unbelief could have come in here. Never such a thing had been known. But that the Son of God might be seen in all his glory, in all his majesty, in all his divine power. Jesus came where he was. And he spake with a voice that was able to raise the dead. He cried, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was clothed head to foot in grave clothes came forth. And he said, loose him and let him go. What a remarkable event that was. Showing the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ that he had power over death and the grave. That he is able to save. But still the question might be, is he able to save such a one as I am? And doubtless, some of you here, perhaps most of you here, have been brought up to the house of God all your lives. You've heard the preaching of the gospel week in and week out. And you might say to yourselves, but these things never move me. My heart is so obdurate. Can anything work here? Well, look at this word in our text. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. This word uttermost may be considered in two ways. In time and in degree. Those who feel to be at the ends of the earth. Those who feel to be out of the secret. Those who feel to be in such a lost condition. Can ever Christ dwell here? There's nowhere beyond the uttermost. Even unto the ends of the earth. Says the Lord, I am he. Amazing grace. That the Lord is able to come where you are. He's able to come and speak a word in season to your never dying soul. He's able to raise you up from your downcast and downtrodden condition. Look at the prodigal son. This son was brought up in a good household. A faithful father. A loving family. And yet, he had the world in his heart. And he was determined that he would have the world. And perhaps with some of you young people here, you may feel a little towards that way. You may want some of the things of this world. For surely worldly things are very attractive to the natural mind. And you may seek after them Surely some of your friends or neighbors or people you know have these things. Why shouldn't I? Well, this young man, as soon as he was able, left his father's house with the inheritance that was due unto him. And how did he spend it? He spent it unwisely. He spent it frivolously. He spent it extravagantly. And being immature and without understanding, soon his wealth was gone. And what was he left with? Nothing. Nothing. May it be a lesson to you. May you learn from it. Well, he goes out and feeds the swine. And he was so hungry, he fain would have ate of that food that was fed to the swine. But then the Lord began to speak to him, began to remind him of his father's house, that the servants of his father had far greater benefits than he had. Then doubtless he began to sorrow over his sins. And you know, if we go into the world, and if we have our time in the world, there'd be much to regret, much to sorrow over. Better that we know nothing of those things that the world knows about. Better to walk humbly before God and to obey the voice of the Lord than to get ourselves into great troubles. But then he remembers his father's house and his penitential prayer. Father, I have sinned. You know, it may be a very solemn place to be, to come to the realization that you are a sinner against God, that you are an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that God in his justice might condemn you immediately to eternal hell. But you know, it's a good place to be also. Because if the Lord has brought you there, he won't leave you there. You may have to suffer it for a season. You may have to mourn over your base condition. But the Spirit, which shows you yourself, will also show you the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will show you that there is a Saviour for sinners such as you are, even to the chief of sinners, that he will lead you to call upon his name in humble confession. Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. The blame won't be put on anyone else. It will roundly be settled upon yourselves. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. That come unto God by him. There has to be a time of coming. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. What a mercy that there is a call of the gospel, a call to poor perishing sinners, a call to the Lord's people, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. I will be to you a God and ye shall be to me a people. The first sermon I ever preached before I was sent out, and at that time I was wholly ignorant of so many things, yet nevertheless the Lord was in it. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come now, Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. There is an appointed time. As one said, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and set the feet to Zion's heel. Do you know anything of that call of the gospel? Has that call come to you? Have you been made willing in the day of his power? Trembling, doubtless, but yet having to come. It is so with the Lord's people that they have to come and tell to the church what the Lord has done for their souls. And for every church member, for every minister, for every pastor, it is a wonderful privilege to hear of the Lord's dealings with his people, how he brings them forth, often in very different ways. We cannot compare exactly our experience with another, but we can compare the grace of God and what it has done and how it has enabled us, unworthy though we are, and we'll ever feel unworthy. Unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing divine, that the Lord should have mercy upon such a one as I am, that he should call me by his grace and quicken me by his spirit and give me the gift of everlasting life. There are some of you here I know these things, that you're able to speak of them. And what a blessing when the Lord appears, breaks the silence, casts out the darkness, and brings you into his marvelous light. Then you're enabled to say, I saw the Lord. Like Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Saw the glory of your Emmanuel. Saw a precious Christ who was once crucified to pay the price of your sins, now exalted upon the right hand of the throne of God, and who lives forevermore. But come unto God by him. Friends, there's only one way to come to God, and that is the way of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. He is the only Saviour for sinners. He is the only one who is able to save unto the uttermost that come unto God by him. And then what joy to be able to join with the apostle in Romans 8, chapter 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. The natural man fears God. He would rather walk in darkness than in light. He turns his back upon the truth of God's holy word. He will not have Christ. And you see the enmity that is progressing at an alarming rate in the world today. How everything seems to be against real religion. Yet nevertheless, the Lord has his people. In every generation, a remnant will be saved. Shall we be among that remnant? Shall we be part of that great heavenly host at last, that shall rejoice around the throne of God, praising the dear Redeemer through an ever-ending eternity, that come unto God by him? There are many religions in the world, and you feel sorry in a sense for these that worship a God they know not. As Paul, when he went to Athens, a place of educated people, a place where they could debate one with another, things which were happening, new things which were appearing, new inventions, all manner of knowledge and wit and understanding they had. And the apostle points out, but you worship an unknown God. You worship you know not what. And how many in the world today worship a God of their own imagination, a God of their own making? This was Israel's great downfall that brought God's right justice upon them. They turned their back upon the Lord, although they knew the truth, and they worshipped the idols of the nations surrounding them. They fell down to blocks of wood and of stone and of silver and of gold. How foolish. And yet how many today worship the idolatrous worship of entertainment, of sport, and of all manner of things. What a mercy if we can say, but we worship the true and living God. We worship the dear Saviour who came from heaven above in the fullness of time, that he might deliver us from our sins, set us free and at liberty. The Christian pathway is not an easy pathway. We were not promised a downy pillow to waft us into heaven. Through many trials, temptations, fears that come upon us, it is often a hard way, a difficult way, a dark way. But nevertheless, like the children of Israel who wandered through the wilderness, they had a cloudy pillar by day and a fiery pillar by night. And when they followed that pillar, they came to the right place. And so if we follow the cloud of the scriptures, as it were, we will come to the right place at last. Our heaven is secure. Christ has made the way. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top of the to the bottom. And the great significance of that is it opened up the holiest of all. Before, only the high priest, as we mentioned this morning, was able to enter in. Now the way was opened for all to see, and all who would could come to God. But we have to be made willing in the day of his power. Without a willing heart, we will never come to Christ. And if we come not to Christ, we will never come to God. Again, we mentioned it is a straight gate and a narrow way. And so many reject that great principle. They want to widen the way. They want to make the way easier, the way softer, the way gentler. Man turns to all kinds of devices. Churches, once sound in the faith, introduce modern things. And those things turn the hearts of the people away from Christ or for a ministry. And you know, you're among some of the most favoured people in this city. To have the gospel preached to you, the true gospel, the pure gospel. Your dear pastor, he doesn't feel to be much in himself. But the Lord has given him grace to be able to preach the truth to you. Hearken to that truth. Don't be led astray by other voices. There are many voices that speak today, but there's only one pure voice of the gospel. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Do we love the Lord or no? Are we his or are we not? That is a great question. And it's a great question to which we need an answer. Am I delivered? Am I set free? Am I safe in the arms of Jesus? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I've often been confronted in the United States with the Arminian cause. Well, you see what the word of God says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world. But if you look John 17, the Lord says, I pray not for the world. I pray for them whom thou hast given me out of the world. These have come out. The Lord has drawn them. Think again of Abraham. There he was in Ur of the Chaldees, in a heathen land, under a heathen religion, and doubtless he was part of that place. But the Lord singled him out. Why Abraham? Why not another? Because it pleased the Lord to call Abraham and no other. And he had to come out. He knew not where he was going. He had to trust in the Lord. He had to wait upon God. But God was faithful. And God provided. And God showed him the way. And God brought him at last to glory. Now, what the Lord did for Abraham, he does for all his people. He calls them out. And he sets them free. But we need a high priest. Aren't there those that say, well, I've come to faith, I believed, I seek to follow the Lord. Why do I now need a high priest? My friend, if you're to come to heaven at last, you need one to intercede on your behalf. You need Christ in heaven. Pleading your cause, making known your needs. We have one who intercedes. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. What a wonderful thing. That the Lord Jesus Christ so loved his people that he desires to have them with himself. Isn't this so true in nature? The husband is away on business. He leaves the wife for a day or two or a week or two, whatever it might be. But how they rejoice when they come back together. They want to be together. The Lord has put them together. You young husbands and wives, the Lord has brought you together. And you love to be together. Well, think of it in this way then. When the Lord brings his people to himself, what joy rejoices our hearts. What love they feel toward the Lord in those first days. Those days when the Lord first reveals himself to a sinner. What rejoicing there is. What love flows out of the heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And they feel that union so divine that matchless grace has made the Saviour mine. A union which can never be broken. The greatest union on earth will be broken. It will be broken by the hand of death. And the world that knows us now will know us no more again forever. But the union with Christ can never be broken. The Lord pleads on our behalf. He desires to have us to be with him forever and ever. And for the child of God, the moment after death, to be forever with the Lord. What a mercy that the Lord should have such wonderful compassion upon us to desire such mortal creatures to be with us, with himself, and to clothe them with immortality. Seeing he ever liveth. Christ is now in heaven, he's not upon the earth. Our blessed Redeemer, air he breathed, his tender last farewell, a guide, a comforter bequeathed, with us to dwell. He came to reveal the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to reveal the way to heaven. But the Lord Jesus ever lives, to die no more. He lives for his people. He came to die for his people. He rose again for his people. He ascended on high for his people. And he ever intercedes for his people. Then to be counted among that people. What a divine privilege. What a great blessing. No greater blessing can there be upon this earth to know that we are his and he is ours and that our names are written in heaven. But this man, this dear man, this wonderful man, of which the Gospels and the Epistle throughout the Word of God teaches us of his character, of his nature, of his person and of his work. This dear man, oh, do you love the dear Saviour? Do you desire to know him and love him more day by day, to follow him in all your ways, and to do his will? Whatever may come upon you in this life, it can never separate. And let me conclude with those wonderful words at the end of Romans chapter 8, where the apostle says, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end." Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 980 to the tune Almondbury, 278. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. If my immortal Saviour lives, then my immortal life is sure. His word a firm foundation gives. Here let me build and rest secure. Hymn number 980.
Yeah.
Be pleased to cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship of thee this day. Take us now under thy kind care and keeping, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost rest upon and abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.